Need a switch and swap. Combine. When he asked me to swap weeks with him, I started thinking, all right, don't have as much time as normal, so I got to pick something that I'm really good at, something I really got a firm grasp on, and that I can really, really put together real fast. So I decided to talk about humility. And so, no, I'm just kidding. He gave me plenty of time, and I actually am talking on humility, but not because I'm really good at it. So that was a joke. But the first person I want to talk about in this topic of humility is Joseph. And that seems kind of weird at first, because when we think back on the story of Joseph, we see him talking to his brothers, and he says, you know, hey, I've had this really cool dream, and everything that's about me is getting bowed down to by you. And so my stuff is always like way better than y'all's, and y'all are bowing down to me. And that doesn't sound very humble, but I want to look at two other aspects of his life that really exemplify the concept of humility. And so we know that Joseph gets sold as a slave by his brothers, and he ends up in Egypt, and he gets thrown in prison for something that he did not do, and he was really wrongfully accused and shouldn't have been in prison in the first place. But when he was in prison, he runs into the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh, and they have these dreams, and he interprets them for them. And when the cupbearer gets to come out of prison, Joseph tells him, you know, hey, remember me when you get out. And, of course, he doesn't remember him. And Joseph spends an additional 2 years in prison. And eventually Pharaoh has a really bad dream that is bothering him, and nobody can interpret it. And this cupbearer is like, oh, man, I know who can interpret this dream. There's this guy down in prison, and he did it for me, and it was perfect. It came true, and he can definitely do it for you too. And so Joseph gets out of prison, and Pharaoh addresses him in chapter 41 of Genesis. And I'm going to start in verse 14 of Genesis 41. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard said of you that you can understand a dream, so interpret it. And Joseph doesn't say, yeah, that's true, that's me, I'm your guy. He says, it is not in me, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Joseph shows humility. He doesn't take credit for the gift that God gave him. He gives all the glory to God, and he says, you know, it's not me, but God will give you an answer. And that's a really humble thing for Joseph to do, and I imagine that would be a really hard thing for me to do. It's if God had given me a gift, and even though you know that a gift comes from God, it's so easy for you to take credit, you know, in the moment. But Joseph doesn't do that. And another way, really a different way that Joseph shows humility is that Joseph had every right, by today's standards, to hate his brothers. His brothers treated him about as bad as you can be treated. A lot of them wanted to kill him, and they committed to selling him into slavery. And that's really probably, other than just straight up killing somebody, that's probably the worst thing that they could have done to him, was to send him away from not only them, but their father too, who they knew loved Joseph very much. And we see later in the story of Genesis that Joseph takes care of his brothers. He doesn't shun them or kill them when he finds out who they are and that they actually need help. He provides for them and gives them more than they need. And he doesn't tell his brothers, you know, I really shouldn't do this. You know, you would have had me killed if you'd had your way, but I'm going to do it anyway. He, you know, welcomes them with open arms and says, don't worry about what you did. It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God that sent me here, and he's turned it into a great thing. So don't even feel bad, because it wasn't you. It was God in the first place. And so despite what we see in the beginning of the life of Joseph, I think when he was 17 years old, when he's talking about the dreams that he had with his brothers, we see him mature, you know, later in life to be one of the most humble characters that we can look at in the Bible. And so we see that Joseph shows some excellent examples of humility. But obviously we know the ultimate example of humility is me. I'm just kidding. It's Jesus. The ultimate example of humility is Jesus. Because he came down from heaven, from the best place in the entire universe, to earth, where his own people were going to betray him and hate him and ultimately kill him. And Jesus, just like Joseph, by today's standards, or by men's standards, had every right to hate his people. His people rejected him in multiple, every way they could have possibly rejected him. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 4. In verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and he quotes from Isaiah, and then in verse 20 he says, he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And in verse 23, I'm sorry, not 23, verse 28. And so we skip down to 28 after Jesus gets done speaking, and it reads, so all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So they hear the truth, they hear the words of Jesus, and they don't like it. So they try to kill him. They would have killed him, but it says in verse 30, passing through the midst of them, he went his way. And we see more rejection in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. And John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In verse 11. Sorry, I'll get there in a second. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And so these are just a couple examples of Jesus being rejected, and we know the ultimate rejection of them crucifying him and killing him on the cross. But instead of destroying his people and judging these people, we read in John chapter 12 in verse 47 that Jesus did not come to the world to judge the world, but he came to save it. So he didn't destroy his people, he came there to save them. And I want us to read Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in an appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is one of the most common verses that are read when we talk about Jesus humbling himself and coming down on to the world. And, you know, we sing songs about this verse. There's a new song, or I don't know how new it is, but I've recently learned it, called Highly Exalted. And it quotes some of this passage almost verbatim. And it's really a beautiful passage because we see what Jesus left and what he became, and ultimately what will happen, how much glory will come to him because of the sacrifice that he gave. And also I want us to read Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'm going to read verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And we're told to be the same way, to be humble just like Jesus was. In Colossians verse 3, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2. Actually, I'll start in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, with all lowliness. It's another word for humility. And finally, James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, I wasn't going to get through this without reading that verse. And so, one of the points I want to make to you is that when we feel like we're entitled to something on this earth, you're not. Because Joseph could have said the same thing. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers in one of the worst ways, and he still did not take revenge. He humbled himself and he showed mercy to them, and he took care of them when they needed it. And Jesus did the same thing. By his very own people, his very own creation, he was betrayed in the worst way possible. And Joseph wasn't perfect. So maybe some of the anger that was directed towards him from his brothers was justified. But none of the anger towards Jesus was justified. And we see this same concept with Paul in 1 Corinthians when he talks about giving up your rights for the sake of your brethren. And Jesus humbled himself to the point of leaving a perfect place, heaven, and coming down to earth to die for the people who he knew were going to betray him and who were going to continue to betray him even after he died for them. And this is just my thought. You don't necessarily have to view it this way. But we know that we read from the scriptures that evil company corrupts good habits. And so our inference there is, well, then we shouldn't have evil company. We should surround ourselves with good company. And also, what's one of the best ways to humble yourself? If you're on a sports team, and the sports team's awful, they're terrible. You lose every game. But you're the shining moment. Like, you're the one good thing about that sports team. You might lose everything, but everything that good happens is because of you. Is that an easy way to be humble? No, it's not. So when you're surrounded, but when you're on a really good team, and you're the same player, but you are surrounded by people who are really good too, then they get more of that share. They kind of bring you down a little bit because you realize, oh, there's a lot of people like me, and there's a lot of people better than me. Is it easier to be humble that way? Yeah, I think it is. And so we can view the same way. When we surround ourselves with Christians and with people who are trying to do what God tells us to do, then it's going to be a lot easier for us to realize, hey, I should work on this. I should really work on this because I see other people doing it, and I want to be like that, and it's hard for me to be like that. When you're surrounded by sin all the time, it's easy to be like, yeah, well, I did this one thing that was really good, and I don't really see other people doing that. And I'm not saying that that is a perfect logic at all, but I think that you can see my point there, that surrounding yourself with Christians not only is good because it helps you make the right decision, but it also helps you to realize what you need to work on and notice other people's strengths and how you can learn from them too, because they're trying to do the right thing. So being humble, as we've read tonight, is a concept and it's a characteristic that is important in the Bible. We've read a lot of verses about it just tonight, and we haven't even scratched the surface of how many verses talk about it. And obviously, we see the ultimate example of humility in Jesus, because he was perfect, and he is perfect, and he died on the earth because people rejected him, and they had no reason to. So we need to work in our own lives to be humble, like not only like Joseph, but like Jesus. And when we feel entitled to something in this world, we need to know that if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, then we will be lifted up in the end. So if we can help you do that in any way this evening, or if we can help you start your life as a Christian and humble yourself to the point of being baptized and commit your life to Christ, then come forward while we stand and as we sing.